Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. This week, Pete Donaldson is still away. He's been doing some WrestleMania stuff in the USA. Some of you might have bumped into him in Dallas or somewhere in Texas. I'm not sure entirely where he is, but I know he's back very soon, and he'll be back later this week. So joining us today is another guest. We had Ryotaro last week, an ill-fated and long-awaited encounter. This week we have Sharla in Japan. Sharla, how you doing?
Good, hi.
You've just got back from Hiroshima.
Yeah, yesterday. I was on a week-long trip to Hiroshima and Nara.
Oh, right.
Prefectures.
What were you doing down there?
I was trying to make it in time for the Sakura, and I think I arrived just at the peak, so I got quite lucky. I was visiting my best friend Mark, who moved down there a year ago. And yeah, it was
He moved from Morioka, right?
Yeah, from Morioka all the way down south.
So. How is he finding the transition? Because, you know, it's like north and well, east and west Japan, a world away. Morioka and Hiroshima, completely
very
different. How's he finding it? Like, which does he prefer?
I think he likes the change. He was in Morioka for quite a while, so I think the change of scenery is definitely welcome. Yeah, he seems to be enjoying it. Hiroshima was beautiful. I really liked it. I hadn't really explored much outside of Hiroshima City, so Mark's more in the countryside. And I really liked how they had so many traditional buildings. You don't really see that up north, and I don't know if that's because of the earthquakes all the time. I think, yeah, they have to rebuild the buildings here a lot more often. But yeah, down in Hiroshima, they had all the old style roofs, the cool tiles, and it was really beautiful.
And did you say you went to Nara? Did you see the deer?
I did, yeah. Unfortunately, it was raining, so it wasn't the best day to walk around the deer park. But yeah, I saw the deer. It was strange having no tourists there. It wasn't busy at all.
I've heard they've changed. They've evolved in the absence of tourists. Because obviously tourists used to give them
crackers galore.
Yeah.
They would eat all the damn crackers. I haven't been down there in like 9 years and I nearly like ripped my bloody hand off.
Well, I was there 5 years ago and they're really polite. They'll come up and bow to you for a cracker and just sit there patiently waiting for you to give them a cracker. But now they're vicious.
Oh God.
Like really vicious. they wait by the cracker stand for somebody to buy crackers, and as they see that you've bought some, they'll swarm you and bite you like so hard. They bit my butt so hard. Oh. I must have like so many bruises.
Did you? I mean, is that safe to be bitten by a deer?
Don't know. Didn't break the skin.
Tetanus.
So
rabies. Oh God.
I'm still alive.
It's terrifying. What have they become?
Yeah. So
it's like 28 days later, something like
zombie deer. It's just the ones near the carts. It's funny. There's some that are still polite, waiting like off in the fields, and they'll still bow to you. They're really sweet. But yeah, there's like 10 of them that sit and wait by the carts. It's horrible.
I'd love to go back down to Nara, though. It's like, it's pretty far away, and it's a little bit tricky to get to from here, right? You have to get like Kyoto or Osaka and then switch to another train. But I remember... Nara's got a real charm to it. Like, where did you stay when you were down there?
Right near the deer park in an Airbnb, which was an old temple, actually. It was like a 500-year-old temple. Yeah, they let you rent it for the night. You're not allowed in the temple part with the like housing the Buddha,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
That was kind of like locked. You weren't allowed to go in there.
Oh.
But you get to stay in the buildings like outside of the temple. And it was really cool.
I mean, Nara is kind of like Kyoto on speed, right? It used to be, the capital, didn't it, of Japan?
Don't know.
Don't hold me to that. I'm not. We'll look it up later.
No, I thought Kyoto was
probably. We're gonna. Should we cut that out? No, we'll leave it in. Lots of people are gonna kill me.
I don't know, guys. I don't think it was
correcting Nara, me. I'm gonna look it up afterwards.
But yeah, it did have a Kyoto vibe to it for sure. And we came across a really cool sakura spot just by chance. It's not one that's overly famous or anything. I'm really surprised. We just drove past it in the taxi and we got out, but they had 1,000 sakura trees lining either side of a river. And yeah, it was really cool.
I'm glad you're here today, though. I recently saw a study that I want to run past you today. And it's a study... I mean, a lot of studies that come out of Japan are often questionable. They usually, like, they interview 5 people in Harajuku.
Yeah.
They give some shit opinions, and that's a survey. But this survey, I fear it might be along those lines. But we're gonna dive into it a little bit. And it's a survey that picks out Japan's most attractive prefectures and sort of ranks them.
Okay.
In terms of attractiveness, it's not literally the most beautiful. It's sort of the kind of what people think of it, how they perceive it.
General opinion.
Yeah.
All right.
And
I've been everywhere except for Okinawa, so.
You've been at 46 prefectures?
6, yeah.
You've been to Shimane?
I think so.
Yeah.
I haven't stayed.
Nobody's ever been to Shimane. I've only driven through it very briefly.
Well, I've driven through it, yeah.
Supposed to have a nice temple. But here are the top 5. So obviously, 47 prefectures all ranked.
Mm-hmm.
The top 5 most attractive prefectures. Number 1, we have Hokkaido.
My first pick. Like Hokkaido. The snow's a bit much. Like, if you're ranking it by, like, just all kinds of factors, like livability, how pretty it is, the food, etc. I definitely wouldn't rank it top.
I mean, I'd be tempted. The thing is with Hokkaido, it's kind of cheating. It's the biggest prefecture. It's a massive island. It's got a lot of diversity there. And it's had the top spot for 13 years in a row now.
Really?
And interestingly, like, I don't think I would have the balls to put the title, to put a prefecture in the title of an Abroad in Japan video, outside of like Kyoto or Osaka or Tokyo. But Hokkaido is one of those places that you can actually do that, and the video will perform well. If I put like Yamagata or Miyagi prefecture into the title, nobody watches it. Nobody wants to click on it.
That's true.
It's got that sort of a brand awareness. So I'm not surprised that it's taken this top spot. And I'd say I'll agree with that.
Really?
You'd
give that your top vote?
I don't know if I give it my top vote. But, I kind of agree with it. I don't know what...
It is beautiful.
What would be number one?
My number one would
Ah, no, I know what mine would be.
I know my top three.
Top three, eh?
Yeah.
Well, mine would probably be Kumamoto, the land of the hills and the grotto.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
I do like Mount Aso.
Mount Aso, the caldera.
Yeah.
Very.
Mount Aso is very cool.
Unique scenery. Yeah, it's like Hyrule of Zelda. And that like,
yeah,
every time I go there, I'm like, how is this? How do people not know about this? Mm. Like, how is this not a more like well-known place? But where do you rank number one?
It's hard to pick a number one, but I really like Yamagata and Hiroshima, actually.
Yeah,
after
Yamagata.
This past trip, seeing more of Hiroshima is definitely up there for number one or two for me.
Where do you think Yamagata is ranked? 47 prefectures. What rank?
It must be in the top 15.
It is ranked at, drumroll, 31.
What?
But interestingly, it's got up from 39th place to 31. So maybe people have seen our trip to the
well,
temple, Yamadera, and it's gone up the ranking.
There's so much to see there, and there's so much. The food is great because they're famous for so many different types of fruit.
And Wagyu beef, of course.
And the coastline's gorgeous.
It is, yeah.
That's shocking, honestly. So which prefectures beat Yamagata?
Every other prefecture.
Akita! Akita. No way.
Akita, yeah, Akita's beat it. But like second place, so we got Hokkaido number one. Second place is Kyoto, unsurprisingly, given its
fair enough
its reputation.
Yeah,
as the heart
Kyoto
of Japan.
should be high up there. It is beautiful. Yeah.
Third place is Okinawa.
I've never been, so I don't have any opinion on that.
You'll have to watch the new series of Journey Across Japan. we are going there. I've been to Okinawa once. It has the most magical sea. You can go underneath it and you can see for like half a mile in the water, which is coming from the UK, that's just not something.
Are you going to snorkel?
Expect. I'm going to try.
I've always wanted to do that.
You know, I recently discovered Natsuki can't swim.
What?
So that's just, like, I booked this bloody trip, planned it out painstakingly.
He's just going to watch you from the beach.
And I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to put like armbands on him. Life, have
floaty,
a float thing.
Arm
like,
floaties.
What are we going to do? Honestly, it's a serious cause for
concern.
You should
teach him how to swim throughout the week. That can be your challenge.
That could be.
Teach Natsuki to swim in 1 week.
That could be a really good challenge, actually. I think 1 week, I think it'd have to be a day.
A day? I don't think you can learn to swim in a day.
I'm worried we're going to drown Natsuki in this series. It's going to be Journey Across Japan. Fucking
I've
Natsuki.
Never seen an adult learn to swim as an adult. Like, I wonder if it's harder than a child learning to swim.
I mean, as somebody who's been able to swim for ever, like since the age of like nothing, I can't imagine what that must be like, but I think it must be pretty difficult because you'd get in the sea and then the moment your feet aren't sort of touching the seabed,
right,
the floor, I think you'd really panic. Huh. And I think you'd be sort of have a panic attack which would overwhelm you, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Only one way to find out. Take Natsuki out there and chuck him in the sea. But yeah, that's Okinawa's third place, and then Tokyo and Osaka are fourth and fifth, showing us that, in fact,
it sounds like
bollocks.
Like foreigners answered this. It's like
shit.
All the places that people hear about a lot for touristy stuff.
It's not good.
I really wouldn't agree with the ranking.
I think
no.
I would agree with last place, though.
What's
in
last?
47th place, Ibaraki. You've been there as well recently.
Ibaraki does have some beautiful places, actually.
Pottery.
The pottery village. No, it is really... Parts of it are very nice. I haven't explored the whole prefecture, so I can't really say, like, overall. But I was really surprised by the beautiful places I saw in Ibaraki. I wouldn't put it last.
Right.
Nagoya, surely.
Nagoya. Oh. Well, I mean, Ibaraki's last, second last Saga prefecture.
No, what's that one next to Tokyo?
Chiba, Saitama.
Saitama. Where's Saitama?
Saitama's 45th. Out of 47.
Where was Yamagata again? This is ridiculous. 30, how many people did they survey?
Yamagata was 31.
That's ridiculous. Those two should not be close.
But yeah, Saga, I don't know what's in Saga really. That's in
Saga,
Kyushu.
I've seen really beautiful photos of like the tea fields. Fields in Saga. Michaela always posts really nice photos of Saga area, so that's kind of shocking that it's down there.
And both Tokushima is 42, and Yamaguchi 42, Gunma 44, which I've just come back from with Connor, and Gunma's home to like Kusatsu Hot Springs. It's got the deepest railway station in Japan. That's where I did the sake in the forest with Ryotaro.
Oh, that looked really cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, and that was actually a really nice place. Like, Gunma's good. And Tokushima, which is really low, 42, also went there on Wacky Weekend with Connor. That's got the Scarecrow Village.
Yeah, Tokushima's really cool.
Ia Valley, very beautiful. Like,
I have a feeling that they've kind of like incorporated livability as well, maybe, into their votes.
Perhaps.
I don't
yeah.
know. They've just put attractive. I guess mediokteki in Japanese. So that would probably like incorporate how much you want to live there.
Right, right.
You can see why they'd put like the ones that are a little bit out of the way.
Well, why would Chiba be at number 12?
Well, it's close to Tokyo.
You've lived in Chiba, right?
For a long time. Most of my time in Japan was in Chiba.
And how do you look back on that time compared to Morioka or Sendai?
I was a university student for most of it, so it was probably like the most relaxing years of my Japan life for sure. You know, I wasn't overly stressed and I had lots of free time to explore. I did like it. I was in the deep countryside of
deep
Chiba.
Countryside.
All it had was rice fields and Don Quixote. Honestly,
Don Quixote and rice.
That's all there was to do, really.
And Narita Airport.
Yeah, I was I was very close to the airport actually. So,
woohoo!
But yeah, I certainly wouldn't rank it that high. That's shocking, honestly.
I think the sad truth about living in Japan is most people just end up in Tokyo and then they don't get to see anything else. They don't get to go anywhere
unless they're on jet. Jet seems to put people in like some obscure locations.
Well, if you come on the jet program, there's like it's very very low chance of being in Tokyo,
right.
And that's kind of why I liked it when I applied, right? It was kind of like throw of the dice, I'll go anywhere, I'll let fate determine where I end up. And I ended up in Yamagata, ranked 31 out of 47. But I remember when I got that job, I got a letter from the head of the jet teachers in Yamagata. It was a guy, American guy called Jeff, and he said, well done, you've won the Japan lottery. And I was like, the Japan lottery? Are you being like overly optimistic American? But actually he was spot on. I did feel like I won the Japan lottery.
After exploring all of Japan, now would you say that you got placed in probably one of the best places you could have?
I would, objectively. Yeah, I would. Yeah. I would. I do think, like, part of me is curious what life would have been like if I'd ended up somewhere like near Kyoto or Kanazawa. Kanazawa. Around the back of Japan, or Matsuyama.
Yeah, that would have been cool. You wouldn't have met Natsuki, though.
Exactly. I would have met someone better. No, exactly, right? And you have to sort of believe a degree of fate was involved.
Yeah.
That led me to Natsuki.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't have explored North Japan much, I feel. If you were put down in Kyoto or something, you probably would have just stayed down there. Maybe made your way up to Tokyo. But my friends that live in Kyoto never come up here.
Yeah, there's a real divide. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I can't remember if I talked with Ryota about this the other day, but like, there's that real divide in Japan. The divide is like Nagoya in the middle. If you live west of Nagoya, we'll never see you again.
Yeah.
I've got friends in Kyoto and Osaka. I haven't seen them in like 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And they never come to this side of Japan. There's a weird like divide there.
Even though it's so easy. My flight to Hiroshima was only an hour and a half from Sendai Airport.
So it's close. It's,
yeah.
But
really
it's just
quick.
Effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Effort.
I guess. It wasn't even overly expensive.
And it runs on different electricity as well, doesn't it?
That slightly, side of Japan, I think, yeah.
I've got like a different voltage.
It doesn't really affect your appliances.
But
it's
while we had like blackouts in Tokyo and like electricity issues here in the east, back during the earthquake last month, the west side of Japan, no problems at all.
Yeah, it's a different
power
grid.
We need to steal their power. Let's take it away. Give me the nuclear power.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
I've got another survey here. I know you love surveys. And this survey, as we've seen, the last survey, absolute shit show. I wouldn't trust it entirely. Take it with a pinch of salt.
Who have they surveyed? Okay, 30,000 people were surveyed for this one. So
30,000 people.
That's all right.
Yeah. Age between 20 to 79.
All right.
And this is, what part of Japan has the best food and what should you eat there? And these are the top five places. Number five, Kyoto, with its kaiseki nyori, the elaborate multi-course meals. Yudofu, which is tofu, hot pot made with bonito fish flakes. What else is there in Kyoto?
I always matcha.
Oh, matcha green tea.
They're famous for tea, yeah.
Kinobi gin,
yeah.
My favourite.
I love the food in Kyoto. I always find really delicious stuff when I'm down there.
I associate Kyoto with tempura.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they do have that really famous tempura restaurant.
We'll have quite a lot of good tempura restaurants.
I feel like they have lots of high-class restaurants just for all different styles of traditional Japanese food, really.
Yeah, I mean, if you like high-class dining, Kyoto is like the place to be. Yeah. Steve Jobs famously, he loved Kyoto. It was his favourite city in the world. And he very famously went to a sushi restaurant called Sushi Iwa, I believe it's called, and left his autograph there, something he never did.
Huh.
But I think it was the last time he knew he was going to go to Kyoto when he was suffering from cancer before he passed away. I'd love to go there and try it out. But like high-class cuisine, Kyoto is the place to be.
Yeah, so far I agree with this survey. They're doing well. What's next?
Fourth place, Niigata.
What?
Oh no.
What are they famous for besides rice?
Rice. More rice.
It says right here there isn't really any specific dish associated with Niigata.
Fantastic. I mean, They've got rice, Kwashi Hikari rice.
Right.
Which is said to be the most delicious variety in Japan.
I feel like that's kind of like beef. Every prefecture says it has the best beef.
It does.
They say they have the best rice. It's all good. It's all good quality.
I remember on Journey Across Japan 2, we stayed at a traditional inn in Gifu. And the woman that was there was like, this is the best rice in Japan. I was like, is it from Niigata? She was like, no, Gifu. And like, it's one of those things where it tastes the same.
Yeah.
I've eaten Niigata rice. It's good, but it's just the same as it is in Akita or Yamagata. They do have a lot of good sake breweries, though. Very famous for its sake. And it's got a lot of good... I recently passed through Niigata for a video with Connor. It's coming out this week. And we went to the sake vending machines, which were exceptional. But at the same time, that's all there is. Like, Niigata has rice.
Rice and sake.
And I feel like we can do better than that.
Not ideal. Yeah, really. How many people voted for Niigata?
Must have been quite a few thousand.
Very weird.
Third place, we have Osaka, which is famous for its okonomiyaki, its takoyaki, kushikatsu.
Is that an Osaka thing?
Yeah, it's like deep fried.
Yeah,
meats and
all
things,
the street food in Osaka is amazing, so they definitely deserve a high ranking for sure.
And of course, it's known as Japan's kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's a justifiable title as
well. Yeah, for sure.
In second place is Fukuoka with its tonkotsu pork broth ramen.
Right.
It's hitokuchi gyoza, the sort of mini tiny gyoza.
Right. Fukuoka is just a very trendy place in general, so I found their cafes were amazing. Lots of like really healthy restaurants, vegetarian options.
When I interviewed Hyde, the rock star guy, he said Fukuoka was his like favorite place for food in Japan.
Yeah,
since
I'm
seafood
not surprised.
Was exceptional.
Yeah.
And then at number one we've got once again Hokkaido. Hokkaido with its crab, its salmon. It's ramen with miso, it's corn, it's potatoes, ice cream, cheese.
Basically everything.
I think Hokkaido probably has the best variety of food of any prefecture.
It does
in Japan.
Have, good variety for sure.
But, we did the video there. We did five dishes over Christmas and, you're kind of spoilt for choice there.
Yeah, it's got something for everyone, really. It's mostly seafood.
But is there, are there other prefectures in Japan that you think rival it or top it?
Hokkaido?
Yeah.
I agree with Fukuoka being up there for sure. I wouldn't choose Hokkaido myself, really. I think I'm more into like Western cuisine. If I had to choose, Hokkaido feels very Japanese to me. Like the
very
dishes
fishy.
They have there are. Yeah,
lots of fish.
Lots of seafood. Lots of seafood stuff and ramen mostly.
Mm.
Where I'm surprised Tokyo isn't on there.
Well, what's Tokyo known for? Like I actually don't really associate many dishes with Tokyo.
Well, not a specific dish. It's more like Fukuoka, just the variety of cuisine and the
high quality
restaurants.
Yeah, Fukuoka's got tonkotsu pork broth, right? It's got that sort of iconic association.
I guess. But Niigata made it on the list.
It's got rice, isn't it? Lots of rice.
Yeah, Tokyo's not known for any cuisine, I guess. But plenty of really nice restaurants.
I'd say Fukushima deserves a place up there.
Fukushima has great food,
It's got the, what's it called? Sauce katsudon.
And their sake is my favorite sake in the entire country.
It often wins as well.
It's very good.
The best sake. But sauce katsudon, which is like a pork, breaded pork that's doused in Worcester sauce. You've got...
Peaches.
Kitakata ramen
well. The ramen.
Soy-based broth ramen. Like, I really associate Fukushima with good food. Where we are now... Miyagi,
yeah,
not so much.
Doesn't get my vote. Beef tongue. Edamame.
Oh dear. What about Iwate, where you used to live?
Iwate is famous for noodles.
The three noodles of Japan.
Yeah, if you're a noodle fan.
What are they? Wanko soba.
Wanko. Wanko soba.
Which we did in January.
That's the only one I ever ate. What are the other ones?
Jar Jar Man.
Ramen. I like ramen, actually.
Cold noodles,
yeah.
Horrible.
No, you've never
disgusting.
Had good ones, clearly.
Don't try it, ladies and gentlemen. Don't have it.
The jajamen.
Jajamen's good. It's like...
Nah.
It's noodles with a meat sauce on top, and it's a bit like spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
Way better than ramen.
It's not.
And also, Iwate, I did a video there a few years ago called like Six Must Try Dishes. Had Maizawa beef, but also it's got that really interesting take on Genghis Khan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is famous for that, I guess.
Genghis Khan is lamb, mutton, barbecue.
Yeah.
And in a, there's a town in Iwate called Tono, and there they do it on a bucket. A bucket. A bucket.
Doesn't sound
lamb.
Overly pleasing, but whatever you like.
Basically, lamb, mutton, barbecue, Genghis Khan, it's a Hokkaido dish. It started in Hokkaido in the 30s.
Huh.
And I don't really know the story behind Tono, this little mountain village in Iwate, how they got it. But they decided that they wanted to be the purveyors of Genghis Khan.
So they put it in a bucket.
And they were like, but we need to do something different. We need a bucket. And it's just, it literally is a bucket with a grill on the top.
Does it taste any different than when you cook it on
better.
A regular grill?
You haven't lived until you've eaten a pile of lamb off a bucket.
I'm good, thanks. And
but like the idea was, it's quite romantic in a weird way. Like you'd
yeah.
have this bucket, you drag the bucket up the mountains, and when you work it up in the mountains, you'd have a bucket covered in lamb. And within the bucket, you open up the bucket, you put the lighters and the charcoal in there. You light the fire, put the lid on top with the grill.
It's just like a portable barbecue.
It is.
Really.
But it's a bucket. Don't you dare call it a barbecue. It's a bucket. It's the culture of Tono. But I really like it, and I do make a special effort to go there and eat off a bucket whenever I can. And, of course, Al Mori as well is sport for choice with tuna, cider.
Oh, yeah. Al Mori's great. Apples.
Apple pie.
Yeah.
So I actually think Tohoku has probably the best food in Japan.
Mm.
When you take the six prefectures combined.
For sure.
We might not have the rice of Niigata. I feel a bit bad now. I'm bullying Niigata. Niigata, for the longest time, I always spoke ill of Niigata alongside places like Nagoya. What is it with prefectures beginning with N? Niigata... I always thought rubbish because I used to drive across it, the plains of Niigata. It's quite a dull place to drive across.
Yeah.
But then I did this road trip recently, coming out this Saturday or Sunday. And in central Niigata, they have these beautiful mountains, but also the snowiest place in all of Japan.
Oh, is it Niigata? Oh.
Well, a lot of people think it's Aomori and Hokkaido. And I thought it was that Sapporo and Aomori City. But... while those are the cities with the highest snowfall, the area, the region with the greatest snowfall is actually Echigo Yuzawa, which is sort of on the border between Gunma and Niigata, just because it has absurd humidity, and that is the sort of the main thing snow needs to.
What was driving there like? Was it the walls of snow?
I mean, we went there.
The roads?
Because we went there in March, a lot of the snow had sort of stopped falling, a lot of it. It wasn't too bad. Only one day it got quite bad with blizzards, but I think living there in January and February or travelling through there would be pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how they do it. I know Ken Watanabe is from there, though.
Is he?
He's from a town literally 20, 30 minutes from Echigo.
Oh, no way. Oh, you should have asked him about that.
Should have asked him. He referred to himself in the interview as a mountain boy, but I didn't put that in.
Huh, I didn't elaborate on it. He was from there.
Yeah, he's from Niigata, and... But although he lives in neighbouring Nagano now, quite close. I did say earlier, all the prefectures beginning with an N are bad. That's not true.
Nagano's good.
Is stunning. Yeah. And we passed through there and saw the monkeys as well. So have to check
Were
that
they
out.
There this time?
You'll have to find out. The bloody snow monkeys. We didn't get lucky on Journey Across Japan 2, but...
I can't believe that. I've never heard of anyone showing up there. There's no monkeys.
It was a very...
We must have been the first.
Very bitter pill to swallow.
Someone
we should have
scared them off.
If only I'd known there was a live feed of the monkeys that you could watch, then that would have saved us about 3 hours of bloody filming. But you'll have to find out this time. If Connor and I saw the monkeys.
Exciting
stuff. But thank you for coming on, Charlotte.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we will resume regular broadcasting with Pete Dolson later this week, guys. He's back from his travels. I'm sure he's got a lot of stories to tell. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now, and thank you again, Charlotte. Away you go. Get out of my studio.
Of Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.